Amen. Well, I really don't need to introduce Brother Scotty Drake that much to you. Brother Scotty has been our friend through the years. Of course, he's church member with us for years, but his heart's in missions. He has started, got the Helps Ministry going, and God has used him around the world. He's got a real burden to get the gospel and has been used of God to get it in so many unusual places. And we've asked him to come tonight, and he's going to maybe have a little video or something to show, and then going to preach to us tonight. And it's good to have Brother Tom Knickerbocker with us, and working with Scotty and all of them here on Helps Ministry, and we just appreciate them so much. Brother Scotty, you come on up and just take over if you want to say a little bit, and then ask them to show the video or wherever you want to put it in, okay?
All right. I do have something on my heart. I was a pastor in Tampa for 30 years, and back in those days, our fundamental churches were going everywhere. Buses were running over each other and everything else. And God was really blessing. And in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, I always said this, Landmark Baptist Church in Haines City is the most miraculous church I know of in the state of Florida. I've always said that. Now, there's some churches had more in numbers, but we were in big cities. There was a million, there's a million people in the Tampa Bay area. Jacksonville, Bob Gray, when he was there, run over 4,000 in Sunday school, but it wasn't anything like this right here. This right here, I always have said, ever since I can remember, that the biggest miraculous church in the state of Florida is Landmark Baptist Church with Pastor Mickey Carter. And I mean that to this day. And the reason, you say, well, why? Because it was a little bitty spot in the road. And yet, he was building a church just exactly like everybody else. And Pastor, I'm glad to be a member here. God bless you. I remember when I came to you, I said, some preachers don't want preachers in their church. He said, Scotty, I want you to come. I said, one thing you'll never do is hear anything derogatory out of me. And I sit on the back, keep my nose to myself, and go out and preach every time I can, and he knows that and understands that. Preacher, we love you. God bless you. Landmark Baptist Church, you're a miracle. The biggest miracle in Florida is right here. Right here. In this little town. It's not a little town anymore. It's getting big. Go ahead and show the, I don't know which one, Jeremiah, you're going to show, but go ahead and show it. I'm kind of like the preacher. You take over.
فتقدم يسوع وكلمهم قائلا دفع إلي كل سلطان في السماء وعلى الأرض فاذهبوا وتلمذوا جميع الأمم وعمدوهم باسم الآب والابن والروح القدس وعلموهم أن يحفظوا جميع ما أوصيتكم به وها أنا معكم كل الأيام إلى انقضاء الدهر آمين.
Hello, my name is Kamal Talab, and I have the pleasure of serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in my home country of Egypt. I thank the Lord that He has called me to be a church planter and pastor in the midst of my own people. Not only am I thankful that He has called me, but that He has also saved me as a teenager and kept me from a life of regrets and failure. This presentation started with the reading of what we know as the Great Commission. All of us have a responsibility to submit our lives to His will so that we can see this fulfilled in our generation. What makes the Great Commission different for each of us is the order in which we see it taking place. For many of you, the uttermost part of the world is Egypt. For believers here in the Middle East and North Africa, we see the Americas as the uttermost. With that in mind, I would like to tell you a little bit about where God is calling me to serve. The state of Minya is located in central Egypt. The capital city of our state is called El Minya, and it has a population of 250,000 people, with another 250,000 people in surrounding villages and towns. The vast majority of the people living in this area have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ from the Bible. In Egypt, everyone grows up knowing that there is one God. However, there are very few who have ever had the privilege or the chance to know who He is from His own word. God has given me a burden to take His truth to people from my hometown and surrounding villages, and then to see those who are saved attending a local church that will be planted where they can grow in the knowledge and grace that we find in Jesus Christ. We are planning on holding evangelistic conferences as well to give more people an opportunity to hear the preaching of God's Word. In my country, we have a saying about trust. I'm not sure if the translation will come out exactly right, but hopefully the meaning will. Will you be willing to put your hand in my hand? Would you be willing to partner with what God is doing in the land of Egypt? Isaiah 19:25 tells us that God has blessed Egypt, His people. Would you honor us by taking part in helping to see this promise take place before our eyes? One thing about the desert is that the sun sets very quickly once it begins to go down. Will you help make a difference before the night comes in my land?
Something new. This Egypt, this just came up. We're in 70 countries, Pastor, and all at once we get a call from this guy. We need help down here. They've got Egyptian pastors that need help. And so Ron right now is getting a ticket. We're going to go to Egypt, make sure they're doctrinally right, make sure they're Baptists, and then we're going to start helping. That's the way Help Ministry's been going for all these years, 27 years. That's the way it's been going. They come to us. We don't go looking for them. But they hear about us, and they call us. And so that's a new one. And right there, we hope that we'll be able to tell you if the Lord doesn't come. We believe He's coming soon. But if He doesn't come, I hope that I'm able to stand here and tell you about what's going on in Egypt in the next few weeks. All right. God bless you. Please, if you will, let's turn our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. We'll begin reading with verse number 8. 1 Kings chapter number 17, verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Arise, get thee up to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruel of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house and did eat many days, and the barrel of meat wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Now here we find out, you know the story about this. I'll kind of cruise through it a little bit. But we find out that Elijah went to the king. He went to Ahab. Now you talk about the preacher and the church is keeping their nose out of the government and so forth and so on. No, the Constitution is written that the government's to keep their nose out of the church. That's the way it's supposed to be. And so the preacher's right when he stands up here and he tells you what's going on. Now, you'll find all through the Word of God, you'll find that God's men had no problem sticking their finger in the king's nose and saying, Hey, you're the guy. And this is what happened right here. And so so Elijah went up to Ahab, and he stuck his finger, and he said, You're going to have famine for 3 years. He said, your wicked wife, Jezebel, you're going to have famine for 3 years, and there will be no water. And, of course, then God told him, said, Now you get down, and you go down by the brook Cherith, and he said, You go there, and he said, I'll take care of you. So he went down, and you know what happened. I mean, God gave him water. The ravens fed him. Now, that's unusual. Ravens don't feed anything. And so God used the ravens to feed him. And so he stayed there for a while. And then finally the Lord came after the waters dried up. And he said, now I want you to go to Zarephath. And he said, there's going to be a widow woman there. And she's going to feed you. When you see her, you tell her she's going to take care of you. So he went, and sure enough, he found the widow woman. And what was she doing? She was gathering sticks. That's what the Bible says, gathering sticks. And he looked at her and he said, hey, go fix me a morsel of bread. And she said, hey, I don't have it. I can't fix you anything. All I have is a little bit of oil, a little bit of meal. That's all I have. And he said, go fetch me some water. So she was going to fetch him, and he began to talk to her. He said, if you'll do what I say, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. If you go ahead and you give me a cake, if you go ahead and do that, she said, but I just have a little bit. She said, you just go ahead and make it for me, and you'll be all right. And she did that. And we find out that the Bible tells us that because she did it, that she had oil in her vessel. She had oil and meal until the famine was over. She had all she had. Now, that's the way God does things. God's a miracle working God. God's a miracle working God right here in Haines City. I was telling you that a while ago, and I mean it with all of my heart, Pastor. This is a miracle work in Haines City. One of the biggest miracles, I believe, in the state of Florida. And so we find out that that goes on over and over and over through the Bible. Now, you got to realize this. If you're saved, you're a missionary. You're either going to the field, you're sending to the field, or you're praying for somebody in the field. And every time you hand out a tract, that makes you a missionary. So we're missionaries. All of us are missionaries. And God's told us to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know about that. And we've talked about that over and over. But she had all of it. Now, you can go to the book of Luke 9, and you'll find out that something else took place. The Lord was teaching to 5,000, the Bible says. And they all got hungry, and the disciples said, hey, what are we going to do with them? He said, well, has anybody got anything around here? He said, yeah, there's a little boy. He's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. The Lord said, bring them to me. And the Lord blessed them, and they went, and they fed the whole bunch. And the Bible says the little boy walked home with 12 baskets full. Now, listen, somebody had to help him carry them, didn't he? I mean, that's a pretty good deal when you get 5 loaves and 2 fishes and you get 12 baskets to take home. That's a good deal, isn't it? I mean, you can't beat that. We can go on and tell you about the miracles that took place. Bernard Shaw said a greater harm has never been done than one who gave nothing because he had so little. Folks, let me tell you, every one of us can give. If every person in the building says, hey, I'm going to be part of this, I guarantee you can meet the goal again. If everybody will just reach over right now and pick that little green card up and take it home and start praying about it, the goal will be met with no problem. And we don't have to give the preacher any gray hair if you'll do that tonight. I mean, he won't get any more gray hair. That's a good deal. That's a good deal. I wish I'd have done it. But I done it. Anyway, but you know what? Listen, the children of Israel, you think about the children of Israel. I mean, hey, they are down in Egypt. They were down in Egypt, and boy, I mean, they got down there, and they wanted to turn back. I mean, God sent Moses. That's a missionary. God sent Moses. He said, you go down, and he said, there's some people down there, and I want you to get them out. He said, they're my people, my chosen people. And so the Bible tells us the missionary Moses went down, and he went down, and you know what? He got them out. The Bible says they crossed over the Red Sea, went into the wilderness, and there's several things that happened in that wilderness. They got in there, and they got upset. I mean, they didn't like that desert. They didn't like having that manna every day. They didn't like all of it. And they said, he's just brought us out here to die. And said, we need to go back. Let's go back to Egypt. And that way we've got the leeks and the garlics and everything. Let's go back. Now, folks, that's the worst thing you can do is go back. You just don't go back. Just make up your mind. You grit your teeth and go forward. You go right on. But they wanted to go back. Now, stop and think about it. Had they have gone back, who would have opened up the Red Sea for them to get across? I mean, that's eternal security. They got over on the other side, and the water's closed, and God wasn't going to open it up for them. But not only that, How are they going to find their way? The Bible says a cloud led them by day and a fire by night. If they go back, where's the cloud and the fire? You know what? If they go back, they lose the cloud and they get sunburned and probably end up dying because of heat strokes. Not only that, they lose the fire, and if they lose the fire, you know what happens? They freeze to death at night, don't they? So who's going to take care of them? How are they going to find their way back if they don't have the cloud to lead them and the fire to lead them? Listen to me. God takes care of you. He's the one. If you just keep going forward, going forward, going forward. Now, where are they going to get their food? Here they are in the desert, and God's given them manna from heaven. You know, I guarantee you, I've thought about that many times. Have you ever eaten something about 7 days in a row, the same thing? You get kind of tired of it. You know, I love hamburgers on Monday, but not Tuesday. I look like them all right on Tuesday. I don't like them so hot on Wednesday. On Thursday, I really don't like them. And five, don't give me another hamburger. But they're eating manna. I got to thinking about that, preacher. I guarantee you, one on Monday, they probably had taste buds for lasagna. On Tuesday, they probably had taste buds for T-bone steaks. On Wednesday, they probably, you know, you go on and on. I don't know what happened, but I know one thing, God fed them. And brother, did he feed them? Now, let me tell you, if they go back, who's going to feed them? They're going to die. You don't turn back. Listen, folks, you don't turn back when it comes to your giving. You don't turn back on your missions. I was talking to the pastor before the services tonight, and I praise God for what he's done. He stayed this place open. He kept this place open. Oh, a lot of people, they didn't come, but he kept it open. Now, I've been preaching all over. We've been preaching. We don't have our nationals. I apologize for that, but they can't come in because of the virus. But I want you to know something, folks. We've been preaching, and I still go to churches that still don't have services on Sunday night. Yeah. I mean, they closed up. The governor said open up. They still don't want to open up. Praise God for this church. It stayed open. Brother, let me tell you something. Hey, God's in control. God is in control. You never turn back. When you turn back, you're a loser. You don't turn back in your giving. You don't turn back in going to church. I mean, you say, hey, listen, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. I'm going to keep right on going. Oh, if you turn back, friend of mine, you lose God's protection. You know God took care of them in the wilderness? Not a one of them got COVID. Not a single one. Not a one of them got the Spanish flu. Not a one of them got polio. Not a single one. Not a one of them died of a disease. God, brother, he protects you when you do that what's right. But not only that, you lose God's power. If you turn back, you lose his power. Folks, let me tell you something. This church can't turn back. We can't do it. The Lord's coming. I believe we're seeing right now. I believe we're seeing a preview of the rapture of the church right now in front of our eyes. I believe we're seeing it. The Lord's coming, brother. He's coming. And brother, we don't want to turn back. We want to be going forward, preacher. We want to keep right on going until the Lord comes. I don't care what happens. Hey, listen, somebody told me the other day, said, preacher, I remember when you was young, you said you was going to preach till you die. I plan on preaching till I die. And I'm sure Pastor Carter, I'm sure you can plan on preaching till you die. And brother, listen to me, God's been good, but you'll lose his power because he fought all their battles. He fought every battle they ever had. But not only that, you lose his provision. Did you know he spread a table in the wilderness, the Bible says? He spread a table in the, he said, I'll show you stiff-necked Jews. They said, we're all going to starve out here. He said, I'll show you. And he gave them water from great depths, didn't he? I mean, he took care of them, brother, and he took care of them all the 40 years they were out there. They had left Egypt with what they could carry, and yet when they got out there, God said, I want a tabernacle, and Moses had to say, will you quit giving? You're giving too much. Brother, I'd like to see a preacher one day stand up and say, folks, cut it out. You're giving too much. Listen, you can't give too much to the Lord because he keeps giving more back to you. You're always in debt to him. They built a tabernacle out there. And not only that, ladies, did you know they didn't have, their shoes never wore out? Can you imagine our ladies wearing the same pair of shoes for 40 years? My wife would go bananas. Can you imagine us wearing the same thing for 40 years? But the Bible says, Brother God took care of them. He provided for them all the way through. That's the way God does things. Brother, let me tell you something. When they left Egypt, God took care of them, and they had everything they needed. Oh, listen, brother, the Bible says if you give in Luke 6, he said, I'll give back. He said, I'll give it to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Brother, God keeps on giving and giving and giving. And when you stop giving, you stop it up and he'll stop giving. You keep giving. You keep giving. And you don't give what you give last year. That's living by sight. You give more than you give. You say, how can I do it? You pray and say, Lord, what will you have me do? And you pray, and God sends it in. And I can give you miracle after miracle after miracle where God has met everybody's needs. Brother, let me tell you something. You say, well, I really don't have it. Well, you have it to go to McDonald's. That costs $7 now. If you take your wife, it'll cost $14. You go to a decent restaurant now, you're talking about $12, $13, $14. You take your wife, you're talking about $25, $30. You go to a fancy restaurant, which I don't do. But I remember being up in West Virginia at the Greenbrier. I went down there just to find out how much it cost for a meal. And this was back in the year 2000, $100 a meal. A meal, $100. And you know how they do it. They make it fancy, make you think you're getting something. Man, I like something on my plate. Give me some good old mashed potatoes and gravy and chicken. You let me go. Don't give me all this stuff that looks funny. Oh, listen to me, brother. I've been to places that if I stood here and told you what I saw them eat, you wouldn't go home and eat breakfast in the morning. God help us. God's given us so much. Let me give you something real quick. Number one, your faith promise will get people saved. I want you to know there's people saved everywhere you go. I'm talking about, listen, they tell me that today the biggest Christian movement that's going on is in Iran. Can you imagine? In Iran. I've heard that twice, and I've read about it. And not only that, I've heard here recently that they've also got a revival going on in Syria. Let me tell you something. The gospel moves. The gospel moves, brother, and they're having revival meetings in places where you'd never think, where you'd never dream, where missionaries can't go. Listen to me. If there's over 200 nations in this world today, and yet 85% of our mission work is done in only 15 nations. But you know something? You can find believers of Jesus Christ in every nation on the face of the earth. Right today you can, just like Egypt here. You can't go into Egypt and preach. You can't go into Egypt as a missionary or a preacher. They don't want you there. They're Muslims. But you know what? They've got Christians there. And you just saw a while ago, they've got preachers there. And we're going to go over there, and we're going to see what we can do to help them. Oh, listen to me. It takes churches like this. Hey, people's souls. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gain the world and lose his soul? Oh, listen to me, a man's soul is worth more than anything you can think of. It's worth the world, a man's soul. And yet people are dying. As I stand here, probably two every second are dying and going to hell. God help us to realize that hell is real. People in India getting saved. People in Cuba getting saved. People in Africa getting saved. People in the Philippines. People in China. I can go on and on and on and tell you about the countries that I know where people are getting saved because people like you are given to missions. God help us to give. Secondly, your faith promise will get Bibles to the lost. Right there. That's it. The power of God unto salvation. This is it. I mean, they got to have the Bible. I go down to Panama. I go to David, Panama. There's a fellow down there by the name of Gennaro. He lives down in David. He's got a church. But every day he goes up in the mountains where the Indians are, where you and I don't go. We couldn't get there if we had a GPS. And they would go up there, and he goes up there starting works. Now, I've been up there. I've seen them. I go to the Bible Society. I said, I want all your Bibles, every one you got. Load them up. Give them to Gennaro. Gennaro, take them and give them out. He gave them out to one village and called me about 3 or 4 weeks later and said, "Scotty," he said, "for the first time in this village, they all got up and quoted John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he's getting old villages saved up there because of churches just like this, because of people being faithful to God with their faith promise. But thirdly, your faith promise will build churches. Jesus died for the church. Three things the Lord did. He ordained the church, local church. This is of God right here. He ordained government, and it's a mess. But that's all right. God ordained government. He's going to take care of all this stuff too. Don't hold your breath. He's going to take care of it. And brother, he ordained the family. What a sad thing that in the South, we've caught up with the rest of the world. They say 60% of our marriages end up in a divorce. Young people, listen to me. You pray. You pray and ask God who you want to marry. And live for the Lord. Your faith promise friend of mine. I can go on and tell you about Bibles that we give out. But there's miracles that take place because of your faith promise. Miracles where this fellow was. Miracles. Brother Tom, you're sitting out here. You've been to Africa. You've been to India. You've been to these places. Miracles taking place. I can take you right now and show you where Judson spent his life. And today they use the Judson Bible over in Nepal. I can go on and tell you about Kerry. Oh, 85% of the people in India, 1/6 of the world's population in India, 1.3 billion people. And yet, friend of mine, 85% of them are Hindus. 18%, I think, Muslim, 2% Christian, would take 2% of 1.3 or 4 billion people. That's a lot of people saved. Now, I can't go over there as a preacher and start a church. I can't go as a missionary. They'll let me come in and preach, and I've done it. I've preached to thousands of people. I saw them fighting for Bibles over there. I had bellboys come and knock on my door at night and say, "I need a Bible." And I found him a Bible. And I got a thank you note from him. God's good. God is good. Let me tell you something, folks. I want to wrap it up. I don't think I've told this, but when I was young, I was kind of a smart aleck kid, like most of us were. Maybe a little bit more smart aleck, I don't know. But I'll never forget, as a young person, about this time of the year, my daddy was sitting at the table. He was writing checks. I was probably 14, 15 years old, and I went over and looked at it, and he was writing checks to orphanages and things like that for Christmas. And being a little smart boy, I said, "Hey, Dad, what are you doing writing checks to people? Why don't you just write those checks to me?" I'll never forget what he said. It's haunted me, preacher. He said, "Son, I'd sure hate to leave this old world thinking that I'd never let it be a better place to live than it is now." I never forgot that. I walked away and never said another word. But those words have haunted me all of these years. I'd hate to leave this old world knowing that I hadn't done something to make it a better place to live. Folks, that's what your faith promise is doing. Are you with me? An old preacher had dedicated his whole life to the Lord. I mean, he preached, faithful to God. It came time for the Lord to take him home. And just before he died, he said this to his wife. He said, "You know, I'm ashamed to meet the Lord." And she said, "Why?" She said, "Because he's done so much for me. And I've done so little for him." Folks, whatever you do, be faithful to God. Preacher.
Let's stand with our heads bowed. Father, we thank you for the message we just heard, and the messenger that has his heart in getting the gospel around the world. And Father, how you've used Brother Scotty, we thank you for that. Father, I pray you spoke to our hearts again, fresh and new tonight. From the missionary in Romania and the need we saw there in Egypt, the world might say that's closed to the gospel, but it's not closed when you open it up. And we pray for that place and that man that's asking for help there. We pray for Brother Scotty as he and Helps Ministries tries to provide that help. Help us, Father, as a church, to be faithful here for our part of it. Thank you for the message from Brother Scotty. Father, we know there's nothing too hard for you. You proved that over and over. And you proved it down in Egypt. How you rescued your people, how you used them. And Father, you're still doing that today, and we thank you for it. Father, tonight, speak to our hearts in a special way through this service. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Gonna give an invitation. The invitation is, let's come pray for missions. Let's pray for our part, what God would have us to do collectively as a church, personally. Don't ever think just my little bit wouldn't make a difference. Brother Scotty used the story of the woman giving her very last to the man of God. She couldn't see her way through that. She couldn't plan that out. Only God made a promise that he kept to her, took care of her. I believe with all my heart is, and I agree with Brother Scotty when he said this church is a miracle in Florida. God has used us through these years. But if there's one thing we could put our finger on that might be outstanding, we've been mission-minded from the beginning. We have given to missions. We have given when it looked like it was unwise to do it. First Christmas mission offering we ever raised. We were hurting so bad in so many areas. But we raised extra. And the old devil whispered to me and said, you know, you could do this and that, but you're sending that money away. Well, I'm sure glad we sent it away to missions to get the gospel out. And I believe God has blessed us through these years. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, while we send the gospel around the world, is it all around you and you've never received Christ? I'm going to ask Brother Bert to lead us in an invitation song. If you never received Christ, you can receive him tonight. You need him as much as any person on a foreign field in the other corner of the world needs him. You need him too. If you don't have him, you could receive him tonight. If you're here and you're unsaved, we invite you to come and receive Christ. We'll meet you right here and pray with you and show you how you can go to bed tonight being sure that if he called your soul, it would be saved tonight. Brother Bert, lead us in a verse, please.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
How about you tonight?
How about you? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
No turning back.
Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Okay, we have Ben Hogan surrendering to be a missionary tonight.
Amen.
Ben, stand right here. Amen. When we dismiss, come let Ben know you praise God for him making such a decision and that you're going to pray for him. Some of the greatest missionaries surrendered as youngsters. And it's proved out. Amen. Brother Knickerbocker, would you come up, please, and dismiss us in prayer? And Brother Knickerbocker has a table set up and got some books that are very good back there. And if you'll take just a minute and tell us about them, and then you take time as we're dismissed to go by the table. Brother Knickenbocker, of course, works hand in glove here with Brother Scotty and helps ministries. And God is using him in a special way. Brother Tom.
Thank you, Pastor. We're glad to be here, and thank you, Lord, for a great message and good music tonight when our hearts were stirred. And one of the greatest blessings I have in being in the Help Ministries is sitting down with our national pastors and getting the stories from them. And we've put together two books called Miracles and Missions, Volume 1 and Volume 2. And there's 20 stories in each one. Each one's full of miracle stories of people who've gotten saved. And some have gone from being witch doctors to being Baptist preachers. I tell you, only God can do that. Amen. One of your missionaries here, Brother Humberto Gomez, we put his story into print, finally. And it tells about it, even how he got the Spanish Bible started. Your pastor's mentioned here in this little book. And that's back there as well. And that's where Help Ministry started, with Humberto Gomez, didn't it? And then my son Luke is a missionary in Nepal. He wrote a book called Keep Thyself Pure. It's good for young people, young adults, young college kids, encouraging them to keep themselves pure to marriage. Amen? And there's even a chapter for preachers in there. So a lot of preachers are falling today. But I'll tell you what, we can't keep ourselves pure enough. Amen? The devil is strong and the flesh is strong, and we can have victory through Jesus Christ. Just this last week, we put out this new book, just came out of the print press, God's Design for World Missions, and been working on this for over 10 years with a lot of very practical things for missionaries, those who are planning on being missionaries. And this young man here, I want you to pick up a free copy back there, okay? If you want, God's gonna be a mission. You're gonna be a missionary. You need to get started right. This book will help you out. Okay, and praise the Lord. We appreciate you so much. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and love to us. We thank you that while we were sinners, you died for us. Thank you for the miracle of missions that's so brought so clearly tonight in the message. And Lord, we have experienced ourselves the miracle of the new birth, and we've seen it in others, Lord, and it's just a blessing to see what's going on around the world today in that you're not taking a back seat in this COVID or anything that's going on in Washington, D.C., Lord. The truth just keeps marching on, regardless of what everybody else is doing. So help us to be focused on that, Lord, and trust you and see you do great and mighty things, greater things in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.